Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It is a 2 for Tuesday, and that means you can win 2 Red Sox tickets every single hour from the Red Sox station all day long. And we will give the first pair away coming up in a half an hour at 8:30. And then you can listen all day long at the bottom of every hour to win. And in the meantime, we should get back to Courtney and the rest of today's news.
Yeah, and at one point, Greg, I did receive a video from Greg's girlfriend, Lindsay. Of you on a boat. We were talking about the speedboats, and I don't really want to get off
this
of that.
Unauthorized video content that I have not approved.
We got video and photos.
Am I aware that a video was being taken of me? Because I believe that is a crime in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
It doesn't appear so.
What is this video?
You guys were on the speedboats. Mitch is trying to. Yep. There we go. I'm glad you're wearing the life vest because, you know, one false move.
what is supposed to be funny of that about that? Is it me holding on to the, like, well, obviously you hold on to the thing.
Yeah. Why? It's also just like the vest is funny. And like, the fact you're hitting somebody in front of you at one point.
I don't feel like I think anybody going at a rapid rate of speed, Wiggy, you would acknowledge.
Oh, yeah. I would have been locked in. I wouldn't even fist bump whoever wanted it. I got to keep 2 hands on this safety bob back here.
I don't necessarily love going on those boats either. It's a little bit terrifying when you're going that fast.
I think like you tried to be a hardo by standing. Like you could sit and it feels much better.
No, I think you're supposed and that one you either had to stand. There was one seat in the back of it. I guess you could sit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Anyway, can we please get back to the news?
Yeah.
Which is what we're
look tan in it though.
What we are in the middle of, please.
Your teeth looks great.
Do you guys want to guess which generation has the worst drivers? Because, you know, we all span, whether you're boomer, Gen X, millennial, Gen Z.
See, this is so difficult because I would say boomers because they're old.
Right. Okay, so you're going boomers.
Yeah.
I would also say boomers.
I would say Gen Z because there's more new drivers in Gen Z. Or maybe it's my generation, Gen X. I don't What is
a recent survey says only 30% of Gen Zers think their generation is the safest, and they are the worst.
Oh, so they acknowledge that they are the worst drivers,
yes.
Gen Z.
Every other generation believes that they are the best. Gen Zers' biggest struggles while driving behind the wheel, 54% say they eat while driving, 32% drive when they're tired, 15% have arguments while on the road, and 13%, and this one is really bad, drive with their pets on their laps.
Oh, I believe that. I see that all the time.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of terrifying when you see it, like, because the pet can do anything and then you'd be distracted. And
right. I don't get that.
And God forbid you get in an accident, the pet's going to die immediately.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Really bad. The youth soccer governing org here in Massachusetts has extended their misconduct rules to include spectators.
Ooh.
Yeah. This is important.
This is parents.
Yep.
So the rules used to apply to what? Coaches?
Coaches. So the U.S. Soccer updated its national regulations to kind of protect players, coaches, and referees. But the U.S. Soccer did not include spectators. Mass did include spectators. The consequences of breaking these rules can range from a suspension of one game to a lifetime ban.
So I guess I don't understand. What does this change? As someone who has coached youth soccer and played youth soccer for a very long time, I guess I don't understand, because refs can throw parents out whenever they want.
But they won't have an actual ban.
Were you just flexing as a youth soccer coach?
Yeah, you know. Maybe I was. Okay, I wasn't. But I'm just curious.
You coached soccer.
I did, yeah. I coached for like 7 years.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
There you go. Give them back to the youth.
I was a champ.
You didn't encounter any. It's a reaction to the parents who are wildly out of control. Like you never encountered any of them.
No. Oh. Trust me. I have seen parents be wildly out of control. But normally, either the coach, like myself, would handle it, or the referee would handle it and literally throw them out and force them. They will stop the game until the parents go to the parking lot.
Well, now they can get a lifetime ban. It's also kind of weird that you are a youth soccer coach since you hate kids.
To be fair, I was coaching like high school age kids, 14 and up, the age I was coaching.
So. Younger kids you don't like.
Yeah, right?
I did one season coach 8-year-olds, and that was very taxing.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, that is definitely taxing.
Well, no, it's just a lot. They're not necessarily super focused. Yep. It's difficult.
They're 8-year-olds.
Exactly.
You're doing it out of the goodness of your own heart to help them.
Hey, I did it, and I didn't complain about it, did I?
Okay. It's literally just an activity.
I know. I'm aware. I did it. They needed a coach, so I stepped in. Me and my buddy did it.
Right. Job. But,
Would you have them, like, running laps after practice?
No. We were just teaching them how to pass a ball, Greg.
Gutters.
Did you have, like, Shador kid? Came in with chains, like, I'm the next Mbappe out here.
Legendary. I think that's a good thing.
I do, too.
I think parents are out of control when it comes to their kids.
There should be consequences.
This is Matt, a fellow soccer coach, Shime. Hello, Matt.
I'm more of a hype man than a soccer coach, all right? But I coach girls soccer. They started this new rule. You have to shake hands before the game. They read this huge statement about if you say anything to the ref. It sounds like they murdered a ref years ago, and they're now just setting these rules. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And you have to request permission to shake hands after the game. I agree the fans need
to
calm down.
Request permission?
You shake hands before the game. You're not allowed to shake hands after the game unless you request permission from the other team.
Yeah, Matt, it's not Mortal Kombat. It's youth soccer.
Sportsmanship.
I know, but you're not priming them for a career playing for Liverpool.
These girls are not USA qualified.
It's supposed to be fun. Like, that's a problem. The parents ruin it.
Oh, no, I believe some of the parents ruin it, but a lot of those USA girls that he's talking about started in youth soccer.
Yeah.
And, you know, you want to be on a team that the coach does coach you hard and it is competitive. Yeah.
I understand that, but it's okay. Like, he's upset that they are shaking hands before they're playing. Like, I mean, give me a break.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what else?
A wildlife group in Cornwall, England, captured a beaver breaking wind, and it's going viral. Oh. But unlike humans, beavers toot for a different reason.
Oh, they do?
Yes, they do. We can hear from beaver officer Lauren Jasper talking about why beavers fart.
Beavers, near their tail, they have glands that can secrete this oil called castoreum, and that actually helps them to mark their territory. So we think what the beaver was doing in the video is actually marking its territory and communicating to any other beavers out there that actually this is my patch.
Mm. Oh, is that the actual sound of the beaver farting?
It is.
Sounds very much like the human passing gas.
I think I'm going to get a t-shirt, beaver officer.
I think you should, Wiggy. Why not?
Yeah.
People are like, how do I get that job?
So is it more, I guess it would be more of like a flex.
Nice beaver.
Is this the first time that they've caught a beaver farting on video? Is that why they're all?
I think just social media must have amplified it. Okay. You know, like, no, I don't think this is the first time anyone's ever seen a beaver fart, but. I
mean, maybe have audio of it could be the first time.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard a beaver fart.
Sure, you probably haven't. Yeah. All right, what else?
Dumbest of the day.
Oh, okay.
Stop being dumb.
And now, this woman is stone cold dumb.
I'm a dumbass.
The dumbest of the day.
Try again, dumbass.
All right, Curtis, we listened to everything that happened yesterday, and we have determined that this may have been the dumbest of the day.
All right, who says mailmen can't be really dumb? I don't know. Karl Malone maybe once said it. But there's a mailman in Michigan that's gone viral for returning $10 that he found in a homeowner's driveway. What a nice gentleman.
That
he rang
nice
the doorbell,
dude.
But no one answered. And as he left it, along with a note in the mailbox, the homeowner caught the good deed, and the doorbell camera posted the gentleman online, so he got the proper recognition. Here is the mailman.
If you can make somebody smile, or you can help somebody in any way, even being a support to be there for them, do it. You make one person smile, then that spreads to another, and it's just a ripple effect at that point.
Unfortunately, that is the wrong one. Curtis, that's my bad. I sent cut 8 to you. It was cut 7. It was cut 7. Yep, okay. That's my bad.
Let's do it again.
Sorry.
Let's do it.
What is the actual...
I thought we were going to be opening again.
You got to get the whole...
I got to get the intro again?
Okay. This works better in rehearsal. All
right. Shoot.
Stop being dumb.
And now, this woman is stone cold dumb.
I'm a dumbass.
The dumbest of the day.
Try again, dumbass.
Okay, Curtis, what's the dumbest of the day?
Inmate with previous escape charges attempts escape with only 2 days left in his prison sentence.
Wow, that's dumb.
Boy, oh boy, I'm so sorry about
really,
the mail.
That's really
a man
dumb.
Was caught escaping from a jail in Colorado last week after just 35 minutes on the loose, and it happened that he was just 2 days before he could go home. Let's hear the captain talk about that, and maybe the mailman.
He had worked in the kitchen at this assignment since March 31st. He'd been working and never had an issue. What I have for him is he was sentenced misdemeanor. That's what we go off of.
Okay, angry Principal Dave Hillnote launching in 3, 2,
no, that was
and
not
one.
Curtis's fault. Not that's, Curtis's yes, fault.
It's fine. Right.
I wonder what he says to the judge when the judge, you know, when he goes to resentence and the judge says, so well, you only had 2 days left. Why'd you try to escape?
Did he not
realize? Not talking about this.
I would think he only had 2 days left.
Maybe he didn't know his release date.
He's just really dumb, I guess.
He got an opportunity.
Courtney, thank you.
Hey, thank you.
That is the news. And speaking of Courtney, here she is with what is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. Breaking news this morning, the 49ers and George Kittle have agreed to terms on a new contract extension that makes him the NFL's highest paid tight end. 4 years, $76.4 million with $40 million guaranteed.
That is some good money. Stop! Beaver police!
I can't get past that.
It's beaver officer.
Okay, officer. Yeah.
Nice beaver.
The Celtics are back in action tonight for Game 5 against the Magic. Tip is at 8:30 with Jaylen Brown listed as questionable and Drew Holiday is out. There were some NBA playoff games last night. The Warriors now lead the Rockets 3-1, and the Cavs swept the Heat after taking them down 138-83 in Miami last night. And joining the Celtics tonight, the Pacers will try to close out their series with the Bucks, who will be without Dame Lillard after he confirmed did suffer a torn Achilles. To the NHL playoffs, the Stars now lead the Avalanche 3-2 after their win last night, and the Panthers lead the Lightning 3-1. The Super Bowl champ Eagles had their visit to the White House yesterday. Less than half of the roster attended the visit. Some notables who were not in attendance, Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, and Devontae Smith. And the Red Sox are back in action tonight. They're in Toronto to take on the Blue Jays. First pitch at 7:07 with Garrett Crochet taking the mound. You can listen to the game right here on EEI. Join Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 6:07 for the MassMutual pregame show. And that was brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. The 99-cent sale is back. Pick up participating items at Shaw's and Star Market for just 99 cents each or by the pound. Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Cordy. It's 62 in Boston. Feels like 55. Gorgeous this afternoon. High in the upper 70s.
By the way, food incoming this morning.
Oh, wow.
You, Wiggy, will not eat it.
Okay.
But Roger Berkowitz, who took legal seafoods from a market in Cambridge, one seafood market in Cambridge, to 35 national locations.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's impressive.
Has a new venture and a new double clam chowder.
Ooh.
Which he is going to bring by this morning if you would like to give that a whirl.
Of course. I love clam chowder.
Shime, where are you on chowders currently? Are you allowed a sip or two? Or I don't know what the rules are.
Yeah, like I'm not a huge chowder guy as it is.
A little spoonful.
It's chowder soup.
Yes,
it's considered soup.
Yes, chowder is. I don't know if there's a separate category.
I don't know.
Bisque. Yeah. I think it's all in the soup space.
Okay.
You got bisque. You got chowder. You got stew.
All right.
I mean, is stew in the soup
category? I don't know because remember we talked about gumbo, and that was. I guess that's not a.
No, gumbo is a soup.
It is. Okay. Yeah. All right.
I classify it as such. Mm-hmm. If you eat it from a bowl, or even a bread bowl,
mm-hmm.
and you eat it with a spoon.
Okay.
I think it qualifies as a soup.
Right.
He's got a lot of stuff.
Yeah. All right. We will be right back.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities. And no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
It is a 2 for Tuesday. Red Sox tickets incoming for you in a few moments. This is Alan from Nantucket. Good morning, Alan.
Hey, Greg. How you doing?
What's up?
Nothing. How was your Daffodil weekend?
It was very good. I mean, minus the weather, which was not so great. I really enjoyed the antique cars. I love antique cars.
Uh-huh.
Curtis, you like a good antique car parade or not?
A question for Nantucket. Antique car, is that 2024?
I know. We're going to be having like a Honda Civic out there pretty soon. No, I'm glad you liked it. You know what they say, a bad day on Nantucket is better than a good day in the vineyard. So, you know, rain or shine, baby.
Right.
You know, you were a class act, so I thought I'd call and back your point, which, you know, saying I think Chalk and Shadur falling so long to a culture thing is a lazy way to headline it, you know, when realistically there's a number of challenges that come with drafting a player like him. And, you know, I mean, imagine you don't get off to a hot start and you're not playing him, and maybe you're not hearing it from him, but I wouldn't be surprised if you're hearing it from his father or you know, it's just so many more headlines that can come with drafting a player like that. And the last thing I will say is, you know, Wiggy, if you want to talk about, you know, culture in the locker room, coming from a Buffalo Bills guy, you might want to get ready to buy a Wiggy, you know, the way Diggs is going to have you pulling your hair out this season. But, yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Hope you all have a good day.
All right. I think Wiggy is being a little bit fraudulent. Mm-mm. When it comes to Shadur Sanders.
No, I'm not, because I've been on the Shadur.
A little Sigmund fraud. If you were playing,
right,
as you did in the league,
right,
and the rookie came in who had created a brand for himself,
mm-hmm,
in which he declared himself to be legendary.
Mm-hmm.
Before he had become legendary whatsoever,
right.
You would have an issue with that.
I would find it to be weird and strange, but I would understand it.
Come on, Wiggy.
In the sports we live in, if I was playing today, I would build a brand. Like, why would it just it doesn't make sense if you're an athlete today of that status to not build a brand, to open up so many doors for you. For you to make money and other avenues. Like, every athlete does it in today's society.
Yeah.
Tom Brady did it. Mac Jones did it. Like,
it's leaving money on the table.
Yeah, like, guys do it, Greg. Like, I don't get why you don't. Like, see, I don't think. You're
believe,
so old school.
I don't believe that there. Mac Jones certainly went and trademarked Mac 10.
Right.
Yeah.
There was not a Mac 10 brand. Like, he did not, when he got drafted, insist that he was going to be drafted at his home in a legendary brand room that he had created.
But that's not his personality, though.
But if you don't think that, exactly. If you don't think that turns off some guys, coaches or GMs or both, because they think the player is going to be all about themselves and not about the team.
Yeah, but they've got to get used to that, because with the NIL deals, these players coming out of college now are changed. And with the social media platform, they can make tons of money if they build a brand. I'm with Wiggy on this one. If coaches have a problem with a player coming out of college, talent or not, that has a brand behind them,
then they're not going to be drafting anybody, because a lot of guys do that. Like, and they push guys in college who have these opportunities to build your brand. You know, they push these guys. So, listen, I get it. I'm a little bit old school, but you're in the sense of, like, you're so old school. You're like, oh, if he builds a brand, football's not important to him. If he has an entourage, football's not important to him. Then what's the big deal?
It's the sum total of everything when it comes to Shadur Sanders. And I get it. If I'm going to be called, I'm being called old head, boomer on the text line by you and the Twitch, whatever. That's what I am.
You are.
If you're interviewing a guy and he shows up with his entourage, and he's got his headphones on, he's listening to music, he can't figure out an install, he's telling this team that he's not going to work out for them because that team is not worthy of him. If he's standing there at the combine, and he and his dad are telling that, you know, he's a culture changer, and he's going to be, if you pick him, you better be ready to change your franchise, and your dad is sitting there, and your dad is declaring that at some point it's going to be the two of you, that if you want him, you got to take me. It's all of those things combined. and the talent is not worth the problems that you get with it.
But here's where we disagree. There have been players less talented with more problems drafted before him in the fifth round. Just factually.
Right.
So it's not just that. Everything what you're saying is true.
Right.
I'm sure Wiggy would be bothered by those kind of guys. However, you better get used to it in the NFL, because with NILs and the money in college football, this isn't going to go away. It's going to get worse. More players will have brands. More players will have millions of dollars. We talked about it, Greg, the Jay Glazer report about the newfound need to see if people really liked football in the NFL draft.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm bothered by it, but I understand it. If I was playing today, I would probably be just like these athletes when it comes to building a brand. My problem is people who try to correlate because you build a brand, you don't work hard. I agree with you. Going into the meeting with your AirPods in and not being prepared, like, all those things are on you, but it's not because you're building a brand. Like, that's you and I did. If you want to have a party.
It's a part of it, though.
But
it's a part of the whole thing. What I object to is that you have declared it to be because somebody doesn't understand the culture.
Which is true.
That's not true.
It is true.
I understand.
So what's wrong with having a party?
Nothing is wrong
with
that.
With Louis bags and money.
If you get chosen at number 144 and you want to have, you're real happy about that, and you want to have a big party and throw it up on social media and show everybody that you got Louis bags full of cash, have at it.
So what's wrong with that?
People are also, nothing's wrong with that.
But you see, you make it sound like that's the reason why he didn't get drafted.
There's also nothing wrong with judging him based on that.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with somebody who's going to hire him and pay him millions of dollars judging him on that.
Greg's not saying
happened after they made their judgment.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Okay, like
but, yes, but they also, on draft night, he didn't go to the draft. Why didn't he go to the draft?
Well, that's fine.
Why didn't he go to the draft?
Guys don't go to the draft all the time, Greg. That happens every year.
Okay. Right. Because he probably felt like, well, maybe I might not be a top 10 pick and I might not get picked till the end of the first round. I don't want to be sitting there waiting. Like, this whole thing of like, they have to go. That's the point that I'm trying to make when we're talking about old heads. Old heads, how you dress, why you not at the draft, why you throwing a party, why do you drive a Rolls Royce?
I never said anything about how he dressed. Never.
You just said it. Look at the way Cam Ward dressed.
I didn't say that. I never said that.
When I said,
stop putting words in my mouth.
So when I said,
you can't stop talking long enough to hear what I'm saying.
The only thing Greg said about the clothes.
I never said anything about Cam Ward ever. You did or Sean did.
No. I said.
You said it.
I said the way they judge Cam Ward on the way he's dressed versus the way Shador was, and you go, oh, I can understand that.
No, I did not.
He wore the big.
The only thing Greg brought up about he wore is the legendary.
Brought up his brand.
His brand, legendary.
If you wearing head to toe, legendary.
Did you not say.
Your cap.
No, did you not say he wore the University of Miami on his jacket? Did you not say that?
No.
You didn't say he promoted his college on his jacket?
No.
Cam Ward? Greg, come on now.
Let me start off with two words.
I don't remember that conversation.
The whole entire time?
Yes. I don't remember the University of Miami thing. What I remember Greg saying about when it came to clothing was that he was head to toe in legendary, his brand.
No, but I brought up Cam Ward, and I said the reason why... Because the reason why they were talking about, look how Cam Ward's dressed. He's not flashy. He's got a suit on. Greg goes, then he's promoting the university he came from because he had.
I never said that once.
All right. Well, you and I we heard things differently.
Yes.
The point that I'm making is
a little Sigmund Freud.
The point is when people start to put all that other stuff. So what? He has a potty. What the hell does that mean? Just because. You don't get it because you're an old, old thinker, an old white guy who doesn't understand a 22-year-old black kid.
I think there are people. See, this is what is offensive, and you keep doing it.
It's not offensive.
You keep doing it.
Why are you getting offended? Because, it's just the reality.
Because you try to turn everything into something about race.
But it's part of it.
And it's how do you know?
Because from where I see it.
I'm not drafting anybody. So you want to sit here and say, oh, all of these guys. By the way, these guys. Draft black players
I know that.
Okay. So they drafted black players who wore chains, who did all kinds of things. In the case of this player,
right.
They didn't think the issues that came along with him were worth the talent that he had.
But that is fraudulent.
Sorry that you're butthurt about it.
No, it's fraudulent where you go, okay, we don't think those issues are worth it. We're going to draft them in the second round or even the third round. But to say that we're not going to draft them the fifth round, listen, I'm sorry to tell you, I don't understand or people who get offended by it. Race is part of it. And if you don't think it is, then you're the one living under the rock. His dad is part of it. Yes, his dad, and people look at Deion differently because he's so boisterous, because he's one of those type of people. But if you don't think race plays into that, man, you are, listen, I don't know what to tell you. From somebody who's been in that locker room and understands that you get looked at differently because of how you present yourself, because of the color of your skin.
Right.
And so you have to carry yourself differently.
And it was just him.
I'm not saying it was just him.
No, you're saying it was just him. When it came to race.
In this point.
When it came to drafting, this draft.
Yes.
With these owners or whoever you are alleging participated in this societal profiling of Shedeur Sanders, it was just this particular player.
It was part of it, yes.
That they chose to unfairly profile.
Yeah, it was part of it, yeah.
But because I'm looking through this. I've been going through all the mocks throughout the regular season. So just mid-season Sports Illustrated mock draft. Shedeur Sanders fourth to the Carolina Panthers because they didn't know where teams were finishing. From the fourth pick in the draft to the fifth round, without a single arrest, without a single, you know, baby mama drama situation.
Accusation.
Nothing. No ill treatment of women of any kind. No, didn't do anything illegal. And at this point, the NFL world had a pretty good idea as to who Shedeur was off the field. So make that make sense to me.
So what motivated in your mind the racial bias against this one specific player?
I told you, my opinion is, excuse me, when you're driving the bus and you're the face of the franchise and you're the quarterback, and Courtney, you brought it up and it was a great point, non-quarterbacks are looked at differently than quarterbacks. So if Shedeur Sanders is doing everything he's doing and he's Travis Hunter, no issues.
Well, they always say like wide receivers are divas.
Right.
So.
But even the fact, and I brought it up, the number one overall pick was a black quarterback, but he looks and presents differently. He looks and presents differently from the way he dresses, the way he carries himself. So when you see Shedeur, who comes with all this other extra stuff that you're not used to or you don't understand, you instantly go, we're not drafting this guy because all this other stuff is going to be a problem. Like, and Curtis is right. People talk about Deion. None of his kids have ever been in trouble. None of his kids have ever broken the law that we know about. Like, you know, there's no accusations about kids, their kids in sexual assault or anything like that. And yet people are like, oh, blame Deion.
Well, because he still didn't teach at least Shedeur how to carry himself in a professional manner.
He taught his son to, and that was Deion's way of raising his kid. Hey, be confident and walk with a big stick. That's what he taught Deion's kid. He said, hey, you're a young black man. You're going to, in this world, be confident and walk with a big stick.
And up until draft day, why would Deion change a damn thing? He came from not much.
Nothing.
And created an unbelievable Hall of Fame playing career, then went back to Jackson State, led them to prominence, then took Colorado, which was sinking to the bottom of the toilet in the Big 12, and brought them to the most marketable team in the country with his son as the quarterback. And then halfway through his son's senior year, or whatever year it is, he's predicted to be a top five pick. Why would he change anything? Look at where he was to where he is.
And at lowest, we were talking about this before the draft, we had him, or not we, but people had him 20-21. That was the lowest. To go from there to the fifth round and then say all these other things don't factor in. I'm not saying race is the number one reason, but that's part of it. And I don't mean
just
to...
Just specifically with him. With no
in
other
In this
players.
Situation.
With no other players.
Yeah, in this situation.
Draft.
It doesn't...
No
yeah,
other players.
Because no other player has the type of background that Shedeur's coming with, right?
So well, then it's not about race.
But it's part of it. It's part of it, Greg, and I'm not saying that like you.
Well, you used Caleb Williams as an example, and you said Caleb Williams was a diva going into the draft last year.
Yeah, that's what people projected.
Right.
Because he wanted.
But those same GM, same coaches weren't drafting right. him based on a racial bias.
Right, because they.
Why is it suddenly happening now?
Because it's Shador the player, which you're right. He might not have the Caleb Williams talent yes. to go along with it. But if you think that there's not other factors that play in, Greg.
Yeah.
Then you and I are just going to disagree about that.
I have a body of evidence that shows me that these GMs and these head coaches are willing to draft the player regardless of his race if they think he is talented. They did it throughout the entire first round.
So show me the other first round projected player who fell to the fifth round with no issues off the field.
What do you mean off the field? I mean, you mean
like no arrest or anything?
What you would call arrest is not the factor with Deion. We've established
that. No. But what I'm saying, this is unprecedented. Why
They didn't want a me first player.
Well, so I also think there's
players all over the place.
Oh, okay.
And there's some teams that don't want or need a quarterback too. So we can't say all of these teams pass on him. There were specific teams that wanted a quarterback or needed a quarterback. So you really have to just focus on those teams.
But even with those teams, Courtney, this is unprecedented. So it can't be, he's a me first, because there's me first guys who play all the time. It can't be he doesn't love football, because there are guys who come in all the time who don't love football. They did it when I played.
I have to give Red Sox tickets away. So if you are caller number 9 on the contest line right now, which is 617-931-0937, and you know the code word from 7 a.m. this morning, then you will win a pair of tickets to go see the Red Sox and the Twins on May the 4th be with you at Fenway Park. So call now. And you can keep calling all day long, bottom of every hour, and win. This is Chuck from Boston. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, guys. How we doing today?
What's up?
Hey, Greg Hill, you have to understand something. It's not about general managers and coaches. It's about billionaire owners having a black man that's a millionaire and very successful at some point going to tell them how to run their team. That's where the fourth pick or fifth pick went to fifth round. Now, it is Deion's fault for raising his son that way, to be a professional, to be a positive black man. But what happens is when you walk in with gold chains and you're the face of the franchise, that's a little bit of conflict. Now, has Shador maybe wore a suit to the interview with the NFL owners and been more prepared? Yes, that's his fault, but you cannot knock Deion Sanders for raising his son to be, first off, a good God person. He believes in God. The whole family believes in God. Second thing, he raised them to be on the level that he's on. Those kids are not as good as Deion. Okay, but I had a good conversation. Yes, I'm sorry.
Haven't those owners selected black players that are going to be millionaires that have a say?
Pardon me? Say that again, I'm sorry.
Haven't they selected players that are black that are going to be millionaires, as you put it, who are going to have a say in the way they run their team for a long period of time already?
Well, there's not a lot of the history of black quarterbacks is not, as you know, is not as long as the history of white quarterbacks. So let's keep that in mind, first off. Second thing is this. Deion is a handful. I get that. Okay? If you want to blame this on Deion Sanders, by all means. But his kids don't do drugs. His kids don't get in trouble. How in the hell is Mel Kiper in 47 years say he's never seen a top 5 pick drop to the fifth round? How does this kid go from there to the fifth round, and all people saying to me, like Courtney said, Deion didn't raise his kids the right way, or you said Deion didn't raise his kids to be humble. Do you think Shador Sanders is going to walk into a locker room with his little brother doing videos? He's going to walk into a locker room with gold chains saying, screw you guys, I'm not doing rookie things? That's asinine. He understands the game.
Isn't it possible that he was the worst interview in the history of NFL interviews? Is that not possible?
That's possible.
I mean,
that's possible.
Isn't that possible? Yeah, but that's what still it's about.
No, but that still wouldn't take you from being a top five pick to a fifth round pick.
Wouldn't you also say it's possible that NFL owners and NFL teams just like this is like anti Deion? Like they just don't want Deion to like infringe on them and their properties and their teams, and so they don't want to take Deion's son because they think Deion will loom.
And the other issue, I believe, is that NFL owners and many of the people that run these front offices have not evolved with the changing player, given the way in which the landscape that comes into the league has changed dramatically. The NILs of the world have just been, this is the infancy.
Yeah.
And so maybe they're going to have to maybe figure out how their team fits into the star player rather than the star player showing up begging for a chance, because at that point the players hadn't made anything.
We got to take a break. But we can keep talking about this all morning. You can keep talking about it all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Well, we are blessed by the presence of what I would call restaurant royalty this morning. Roger Berkowitz has walked in with double clam chowder. Roger Berkowitz is the founder of Legal Seafood. And Roger, good morning. How are you?
Thank you very much. Good morning, Greg.
Great to
see
you again.
Good to see you guys.
Good to see you.
I'm grateful. I always tell you, great radio voice.
Yeah.
You missed your calling.
Thank you, I guess.
But you took your family's... I'm always interested in the stories of entrepreneurs. Your family had a fish
market in Inman Square, Cambridge.
Okay.
From like 1950 on, and when no one was eating fish, we were funny. We were one of the few Jewish families that lived for Lent and Fridays. And when the Pope decreed you no longer had to eat fish on Fridays, we thought, oh, this is it for us.
It's over. Forget about it. And then when did you open the first Legal,
So Inman Square in Cambridge was actually the first Legal. We had some space. My grandfather had a little mom-and-pop grocery store, and my father opened up a fish market next to the grocery store. And, people said, well, how'd you get the name Legal? And the name of my grandfather's market was Legal Cash Market. They used to redeem Legal Cash stamps, which were the forerunner of the S&H Green stamp.
Wow.
And my father just wanted to show that, the same family tie-in, because my grandfather was known for quality and meats and produce, and now he had fish, and that's sort of how we got had. So we had a sort of a food background.
And you built it into 35 legal restaurants around the country?
Yeah. Mostly East Coast.
East Coast. And the legal chowder, if I remember correctly, was served at every presidential inauguration for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Now, what you brought in today is your new venture and your new double clam chowder.
Right, exactly. So when I sold a few years ago, I couldn't take the recipe with me, so I thought, well, I still want to sell fish, and I love chowder. So I had time to think about it. I said, you know what? We're just going to come up with a better clam chowder.
Mm.
And so I thought, well, how can I let people know it's better? And I go, well, the reality is, it's twice as many, almost three times as many clams. In that clam chowder than almost any other clam chowder, because no one's stupid enough to put that many clams in. But we thought, you know, what the hell? Let's give it a shot. And actually, you know, the funny thing is the inspiration, believe it or not, for doing a double clam chowder had to do with a sports figure in Boston. Guy by the name
Jermaine Wiggins.
there is a Patriots story that I'll get to, but actually the guy that actually had the inspiration on the chowder was a guy by the name of Red Auerbach.
Oh.
Yes, and Red was sort of a friend. I always thought of him as really like an older brother, you know, kind of like a mentor. And the great thing about Red is that he would just call it out as he saw it. So I remember when we first opened in D.C., Red kind of took me under wing and introduced me to some of his friends down there and in real estate and whatnot. And anytime I would go down to D.C. to check on the restaurants, I'd give Red a call. Red loved Washington. I mean, his whole, you know, all his friends, family stayed in Washington. He loved it. And so I called him up because we get together for lunch or dinner. And so on one call, I said, right, we're going to get together for lunch. He goes, yeah. He goes, you know what, but I got a complaint. I go, okay, you know, because when Red had a complaint, you listen to him because he usually was spot on. He goes, I had your clam chowder in Costco. And I go, the flavor's pretty good. He goes, but there was a problem with it. And I go...
Got it.
Did you dump out of that, Shine?
You did. Right, yeah, right. I did. I had to.
Not enough. Good job, though. Not enough.
I'll use F in it.
Yeah. I love a good F bomb.
So I ended up pulling it off the market. And I go, all right, I got to, you know, because, you know, Red said, hey, it might be a little thing to you, but to me, it's a big deal. I go, I get it. I get it, Red. So, so I pulled it off, and as I was, you know, coming up with this new chowder, I sort of channeled Red. I gotta put enough effing clams in this clam chowder.
I think you did. So, it's very, very good. Courtney, what's your...
It's unbelievable, and I like when there's like a bit of pepper taste. Yeah. There's good pepper taste in this as well. Very, very good.
Good balance. We really rich stock. And that's the key, because a lot of people cheat on chowder. You know, a lot of it's flour, and you know, sometimes you see chowder, you stick a spoon in it, and it stands straight up. It's like a cement. And I go, that's not clam chowder. People eat clam chowder. They want to taste clams. And so,
well, it's Rogers Fish Company, and it is the double clam chowder. And you can get it if you go to Market Basket or you go to Cafe Nero, Dave's Fresh Marketplace, Sip Cafe in Post Office Square, and ask for it wherever you normally go and give it a try.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, what was your Patriots story?
Oh, so the Patriots story. So years ago, there was a study done at Harvard that showed that men who had a lot of zinc, typically through oysters, because oysters have more zinc than any other product, it gave men, in particular, more energy, whether it's at home or on the field.
We understand.
And there was a guy, Tom Hoffman. I don't know if you remember Tom Hoffman. He used to be the head of publicity for the Patriots. He was a friend. And I said, you know, Tom, men who eat oysters actually have better performance because the more you sweat out in the field, the more zinc leaves your system. So if you have a higher zinc buildup, you're going to perform better. So I used to do oysters for the Patriots before every game, every home game. But then they were going to play the Jets one year. And I got a call, can you get the oysters to go? So... You know, it was a little cumbersome trying to keep it in the shell, so I put it in these pine containers, and I shipped it off. And I remember watching the game that Sunday, and there's one player in particular that's having a career game, and it was Don Hasselbeck. And he was just catching everything in sight. And after the game, you know, Patriots won that game, and the next morning I get a call from Hoffman going, were the oysters all right? I go, yeah, they were fine. He said, well, one of the players was feeling really queasy after eating the oysters. And it turned out it was Hasselbeck. And I said, well, how many did he eat? And they couldn't tell me. I go, well, let's go buy a container. Long story short, he ate 8 dozen oysters.
Eight dozen oysters.
And he had a career game.
Anyhow, so, yeah. All right. So.
Cracking oysters on the sidelines and catching passes.
Yes.
Hannah used to eat them. You know.
Wiggy doesn't eat seafood because you could have extended your career, maybe.
Yeah, I probably should have.
Yeah.
I probably
should have. Career at home as well. Yeah.
Well, I mean, forget about it. I'm talking about on the football field.
Sounds to me like with the extra zinc, we ought to get some of this double clam chowder to Bill Belichick and his new lady.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. All right. So this is Roger. I'm so appreciative of you bringing this in this morning, and we are delighted that this is your new venture.
Thank you.
And congratulations, and be on the lookout for the double clam chowder. And you can order online, right?
You can order online at rogersfishco.com.
Okay. All right. Roger Berkowitz.
So
restaurant
good.
Royalty. We will be right back.